Okay, if you're staying in the meeting here and those who are watching online, great to have you with us. I just need to say that. I know you're there and we love you, don't we, church? We love everybody we're not seeing. So bless you. May the Lord bless his word to us this morning. I'm going to start in Jude, the book of Jude. Just comes before the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and it's packs a punch, this little, I don't know if you've ever read it, it's quite something. And he's writing to the saints, to those called, in verse 1 it says, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus, mercy, peace and love be multiplied to you. Isn't that a great way to start? Mercy, peace and love. Yes, Lord. Be multiplied to you. Let it continue to expand and grow and go crazy in your life. God's mercy, love and peace. And then he uses this lovely word, beloved. I love the affection which he speaks to God's people. And that's the heart of God for his people, the loved. And we love the saints. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, or once for all time delivered to the saints. I urge you earnestly to contend for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. Now, this is such an important exhortation or encouragement. It's really a strong thing that is coming through really from the Lord and his word to each one of us. Don't settle for less than what they had in the early church. Okay? Don't settle for a less than Christian life. Don't settle for not seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Just as God has been speaking to us about the Holy Spirit manifesting gifts given freely to all to profit everyone. Don't settle for haven't ever seen that. Don't settle for not winning souls to Christ. Don't settle for not seeing miracles. Don't settle for ordinary. And he says, contend or fight for the faith that was once handed down. That's why faith is such an important subject. Because without faith, there is no supernatural. God doesn't move just kind of haphazard. He moves through faith. We get saved as soon as we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus died for our sins, rose again, and declare him to be our Savior and Lord. We are born of God through that heart faith and mouth confession. And so this writer is saying, and God is saying to us, don't stop, settle where you are. Go on and fight for everything that Jesus died for you to have. Your rich inheritance, Christ in you, everything that Jesus has done is yours already. But there will be a fight for it. It's not just going to happen automatically in your life. And so you can't, and we can't as a people, and I don't ever want to be someone who loses the supernatural. I want to see the supernatural. We can't change the world if we just become people who believe we're going to heaven, but don't contend for everything that Jesus died for us to have. And we just like everybody else and don't see a manifestation of the glory of God, the miracles, the power of Jesus, and the power to witness. You see, it takes power. It takes the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where you live, and then further afield. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a human thing to witness. It's not just a thing you do. There's a power on you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that lasts. And it's the Holy Spirit through us that changes the world. And that's what God is stirring again, this faith for the supernatural. Faith to change our world. Wherever God has put you, that you have a fight on to go for the great things that Jesus has already provided for us through his death and resurrection. Romans 12, verse 3. I'll just speak this quickly. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So when, even to believe in Jesus is a gift of faith. God gives faith. When you hear the gospel, he gifts you with faith to believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord. But God has dealt to everyone listening a measure of faith. So you already have faith. You already do. So that's good news this morning. But you know, your faith can be dormant or it can work. You can have working faith, or I call it sleepy faith, which is that you have faith, but you're not doing anything with it. So you hear the word, but you're not acting in faith. And the Bible's really clear about growing our faith. We're not just to kind of do, for example, last week many people were operating in the prophetic because Scripture says all will prophesy. That's every believer that is spirit-filled will prophesy to encourage, comfort, and build up. But we're to move on into words of knowledge. We're to move on into tongues and interpretation and gifts of healing and working of miracles and the word of wisdom and all the gifts. Don't settle for one. I want them all. How many here want them all? I want them all. Don't settle. Don't settle with what you have seen. Pursue, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you will prophesy. And we're to grow in faith. And when you first become a Christian, you kind of find out God's way for your finances, faith for finances. And so you begin to give, realizing that it's in giving in faith that you get the blessing back. So your whole lifestyle changes. The faith shows up in what you do. Amen. And you grow in that area. You grow in relationships. You grow in faith in your marriage with your children. You grow in faith for your kids. You grow in faith for the character of Jesus to be revealed. Because it's his love in us to have faith that it will be his joy, his peace. You grow in faith. Go from faith to faith. So faith is to be a growing thing, not a static, passive thing. And you always need to extend your faith for it to grow. So in other words, act. You always have to do something for your faith to grow. Okay, so you always have to, for example, draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. So you always have to move towards the Lord before you receive the reward of that faith and experience with God. He will draw near to you. That's faith. Faith in worship, faith in praise. You enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and you know you are. Not, I'm in a building and we're singing a song and I don't really like it. But it's faith you're going to encounter God. And faith is always rewarded. And we grow in faith. We grow in faith for encounters. We grow in faith for wisdom. We grow in faith for our kids, for everything, for work, for business life. But I have news for you. And I know it's not what you all want to hear. But wherever there is an advance, there is opposition. The enemy always opposes front foot, moving forward, not settling for less Christians. There is always a response from the enemy. When Jesus came, he came into an atmosphere where previously the whole world was under the sway of the enemy, the evil one. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, or darkness. And Jesus stepped in, and there was a confrontation. He didn't just lie back down. He stood up and he said, "No, I'm here to drive out the enemy and to defeat him." He said the reason the Son of God was manifest was that he might destroy the works of the enemy. And so there is a need in the Christian life to deal with the unseen reality, to bring a confrontation with the enemy that will release the victory that Jesus won for us. We must see, as God says it is, we must see the real picture. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. We're not fighting a physical war. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And if we don't get the Air Force in, the unseen, the ground troops won't move forward. You won't move forward. And so there is a need for us to understand that in this contending for the faith, the enemy will oppose as we grow in faith. And this morning, I want to speak about a particular enemy of the church, worldwide, historically, but also an enemy of mine. He's been an old enemy of mine that I've had to conquer many times in my Christian walk. And that is the evil spirit of unbelief. How to overcome an evil spirit of unbelief. How many of you want to know that? Because unbelief, the word unbelief, means without faith. And he loves to cast doubt and he loves to oppose anyone who's stepping out in faith. As soon as you step out and act on the word of God, the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, witnessing and being bold in mission, soul winning, praying, believing, doing something new in a project or in a business, the enemy will say, "Hang on a minute, they're going to see fruit from that. I want to oppose that." And so this is an old enemy of mine, and I've had to deal with it personally. We've had to deal with it in ministry, in building the church, and we still deal with it. But I know that you will know what I'm going to talk about today, because I know you will have experienced this. And I just want to tell you a secret. Not many people know this. But the enemy has a prayer. And you can read of it in Mark 1, when Jesus went into the synagogue and he was teaching. And a man who was carrying an evil spirit cried out. You know what he cried out? By the demon that was currently influencing his life. And Jesus came to set that man free. Do you know what the enemy's prayer to Jesus was in that moment? I love it. Leave us alone. Do you not think that's an insight? Who wants to be left alone? The enemy. He doesn't want you dealing with him. And he doesn't want you driving out the enemy in people's lives. So his prayer to Jesus was, "Leave us alone." And there were lots of them in there. And Jesus said, "I'm not leaving you alone. I've come to set captives free." And he said, "Be quiet, come out." Very simple. Used his authority to drive out that demonic influence in that man's life. And that man experienced a freedom that was so real, the things he couldn't break free from, he was free from. Because that's how Jesus, he breaks people free from the things that they can't be free from without his intervention. Isn't he wonderful? And he set me free. I don't know if you know it. As soon as you became a Christian, you were delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Satan has no dominion over the church. He has no authority over your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which is why Jesus said, I have given you all authority in my name over all the power of the enemy, including this evil spirit of unbelief, who we are not going to leave alone today. He's listening. He heard that. I'm not going to leave this alone for my life, for this church, or for your life. But I want us to have some understanding. Now, before we sort of talk about this evil spirit, I just want to give you an important fact that as Christians, we are called to live by faith. And that releases the flow of the supernatural, the miracle, the supply of the Spirit, and the working of miracles. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight. And if you look with me, and I just want to talk a little bit about your heart of faith, and how unbelief is something you and I need to get rid of in our own hearts. Now, I'm not talking about an evil spirit now. I'm talking about a distrust of God, his character, and what he has said about himself and about you and about what he wants to do through your life. So I want to talk about that. First of all, the heart of unbelief and the Hebrews. How are you doing? I'm on preach mode, so I'm not shouting at you. I'm just excited about Jesus, what he has done for us, his victory, and that we're going to see an amazing advance today through faith in his name. Now, in Hebrews 4, this is written about the history of Israel, who came out of Egypt, saw all the amazing signs and wonders and the provision of God through the wilderness, and they're about to go in and possess the land of Canaan. Do you remember the story? Yes. Now, Canaan, can I correct some people's theology just quickly? Canaan isn't heaven. Because there are no giants in heaven. How are we doing? So you aren't going to have any enemies in heaven. One day the battle will be over completely in your life. Isn't that great news? But in this life we war against powers and principalities. So they're about to take the promised land, all that God has said. And all they have is a word and the presence of God with them. They haven't seen any evidence of it yet, which is what faith is. Faith is believing it before you see it. Unbelief is not believing it until you see. Okay, that's a distrust of a word, the word of God. And it says in Hebrews 4, verse 2, about these people, and this is what we're to learn from them so we don't do the same thing. Just say to yourself, I'm going to learn from this and not do this. I'm not going to be like this. For if indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed in faith, in those who heard it. The word, the gospel that was preached through Moses to the whole of the people of Israel. Everyone heard that word, but it didn't profit the majority of them because they didn't take the word in faith. In other words, I believe it, Lord. You settle it, you're faithful, and you will do it. And I am going to act on that word. And that generation died in the wilderness without seeing the promises come to pass. How many of you don't want to be part of that? I don't want to be part of that. I don't want this church to ever come under that heart of unbelief. We're here to trust God and walk by faith and not by sight. And God said to go into all the world and make disciples. That's, we'd have faith for that. Amen. To have faith to take territory, faith to see people saved, and to conquer what God says we can conquer. Do you know what you believe shows up in your life? You know that. What you believe shows up in your words, your decisions, and your actions. Belief isn't just a theory, it's a practice. That's why the Christian faith is a practice, a life lived, not a doctrine believed. It's a life lived. And so unbelief shows up in your words. It actually shows up in your soul, your emotions, your feelings. And it shows up in your decisions and your actions. Okay, so what happened to this crowd? Let me just sum it up. These guys, they were given the promises, and they sent 12 spies out. Do you remember the story? Go and spy out the land. I don't know why they did that. I think sometimes it's... Anyway, I'm not going to go into that because I'm like, never give people an opportunity to say it's bad. God said it's good, let's go. That's where I like to live. Let's not spy it out and say, oh, but the problems are just massive. The giants are huge. Anyway, 12 of them went out and had a look, found the truth of God's word, that it was a land flowing with milk and honey, that it was a blessed land, that they would inherit it all, not work for it. Sounds like how Jesus has given us a rich inheritance. We don't have to work for it. We believe for it. How are we doing out there? Are we alive out there? And so they go in and they see the grapes. I mean, better than M&S's. They're better than the best grapes that you've ever seen. They're massive. And they take two men to carry on a bunch of grapes. I mean, to be honest, they must have looked pretty big if they took two guys to carry it. So it is a land of blessing. The fruit of that land, the fruit of faith, the fruit of going in to take the territory that Jesus, to advance the kingdom. Let me tell you, it's got a whole load of blessings there waiting over there for you and for me. But you know what? Along with the blessings, there are giants. There are enemies in the land. Uh-oh. But I wanted a peaceful Christian life without any hassle, Lord. I just want peace and blessing. Don't want no war. Well, you can't move on with God and see your inheritance come to pass without war, without giants. The enemies in the land had possession of what belonged to the people of God. Okay, that's the state of play. 10 of them saw the giants, the walled cities, the impossible situations, and all the good things. And they came to the conclusion that they were like the new protein snack of fried grasshoppers. It's a craze at the moment, eating bugs. They already had it there. And they said, we were like grasshoppers in our sight. Basically, they said, they spread a bad report about the land. And anyone who spreads a bad report has actually unbelief in their heart. Oh, because it's working out in the words. And in their decisions, you know what they decided to do? They decided to spread the bad news. Bad news is very infectious. Yeah. Unbelief is very infectious. It's worse than COVID because it means you won't go in the land. It means that you won't enter in. and take possession of every good thing that Jesus died for you to have. You'll never possess the gifts of the Spirit if you don't believe it. You'll never heal the sick unless you believe believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If you believe your experience above the word, unfortunately, you won't enter in. Because I've had some experiences where I've not seen the results, but I've had to choose to believe what God says in moments of pain and confusion and say, Lord, I believe. You said it, that settles it, and I'm going to stick to that. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. And so, 10 of them came back, and the bad news spread to the whole congregation. And in Numbers 14, you can read about it. Do you know what they all did? Sitting on the edge of taking the land, they all sat down and cried. I mean, even grown men were weeping. Like, I'm like, some of you big guys out there, some of you, can you imagine that kind of pity party? Unbelief always has a pity party. It's always soulish. It's always moved by the feelings. How do I feel? What do you believe? Not how do you feel? How are you feeling? Often not great, but it's what I believe that changes what I feel and experience. The whole congregation laid down for a pity party. They cried all night. The next thing they did is they blamed the leadership, the spiritual leadership that God had appointed. They said, they're the problem. I plead with you never to blame and attack spiritual leaders, because it doesn't go well for you. It's all I need to say. It's written in the Bible, but just don't do it. Don't be party of people that complain and blame leaders. Hello? They blamed the leaders, and then they said, let's blame God. He brought us here. He brought us here to die. How many of you know that scripture? In all things, God is working together for our good, for those who love God and called according to his purpose. How many of you know that you can say that one day and say, he's brought me here to die the next? It's amazing how much quotation can go on, but it's the heart. Because out of the heart flow the issues of life. The words that you speak create your world. You can change everything by believing and speaking. And sticking to the promise, not the giants. And the problems. And so these guys never went in because they were without faith. And God wasn't pleased with their rebellion. Actually, they rebelled against God and what he said. And I'm not preaching this today to say that to you. I'm just saying this is written for a warning for me and you. Let's learn from them. Not learn from my experience of having the same dying in the wilderness life. Is everybody in? So Jesus, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder, that he rewards people with faith, of faith, that people who believe decide. And you know, Joshua and Caleb, how many of you know those two great spies? You know, they missed it first time round because of the unbelieving congregation, church. Second time round, you know what happened? They went in. I think it's wonderful that the Lord never eliminates a person of faith, even if you're surrounded by people of unbelief. Come on, we're going to party this morning. I love that. A Joshua and Caleb spirit. Now, what did Joshua and Caleb say? They said, we're well able to overcome this. God is with us. God is for us. Rather than us being like grasshopper snacks, they will be our bread. We'll make them toast. We'll have them for breakfast. They will be our children's bread. We will eat them. And you know, the Lord has spoken to me about two things to meditate on. I don't know if we got a slide to look at, but meditate on this. With God, we can see the gifts of the Spirit. We can see our workplaces changed. We can see miracles happen and people saved. With God in me, all things are possible. Go on, say it over you. Just say it over yourself. With God in me, all things are possible. And I am well able to overcome. Oh, isn't that, doesn't that do you good? I hope it's doing you good at home. With God in me, that's a spirit of faith. The word, the Holy Spirit gets on that and starts to work. He gets on that and starts to work in you. With God in me, all things are possible. I can do the same works that Jesus said I could do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now I'm just going to talk about the evil spirit of unbelief, and then we're going to deal with the evil spirit. But it's very important we see that we have hearts that dictate our words and actions, hearts of faith that make the right decisions. For example, I mean, I know I always use this example of giving and tithing, but it's not, it shouldn't be a duty. It should be because you love him, you honor him. First of all, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase, scripture says. You honor him. But you're also saying to him, you're my father, you're my provider while I'm on this earth. I'm not going to have to take care of myself, God will. And it's actually a faith, a trust in God and his word that he will open up the windows of heaven. So over this time, I tell you what's really important, just a side issue. Those of you who tithe online, because we don't take offerings here, don't stop giving. Never stop giving, even in tough times, the 10%. But those of you who do, recognize it in your own life rather than just do the standing order like I'm paying my gas bill. And say to the Lord, Lord, as I give, I just want to thank you. You're going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out more blessing. Not a duty, not just honoring him, but doing it in faith. And there will be, wherever there's faith, actions and words, the Holy Spirit will move in your circumstances. Praise God. But this evil spirit of unbelief, let me just bring some insight from my own life and what I believe is the counsel of the scriptures, how to recognize this evil spirit. First of all, I want you to know it comes against good and faithful people. Okay? It comes against good people, faithful people who want to move with God and believe God, and the enemy comes to resist, to oppose people who want to move forward with the Lord. So I recognize, and I've recognized this in my life, whenever I feel God is really distant and unreal. Has anybody ever experienced that? This distance and unreality that God, everybody else is experiencing God but me. Has anybody ever struggled with that? I have. And it fills your mind with doubts. It's like confusion and clouds. It's like a cloudy day, but no, it's more than that. It's fog. And you just can't see Jesus. You can't see faith. You're just full of doubts. That's one of the recognition. You can recognize the enemy at work in those things. You struggle. Maybe you're struggling to receive a miracle. And you've believed the word, you've acted on the word, but you're struggling. Some people, actually, the enemy uses great disappointments in our life to minister, to communicate doubt and unbelief to us that it will never happen for you. And God isn't going to bless you. He'll bless everybody else, but he's going to miss you. Has anybody ever experienced that? Where actually everybody else is getting this, but I'm not. And he communicates this evil spirit, demons speak. which is why we started with it, leave us alone. That's basically, he doesn't want you to deal with him. But when they speak, is to doubt, cast doubt, communicate negativity, to say you'll never be good enough, you're never going to be worthy enough to receive all the blessings that Jesus has freely given. Another identity that you can identify, this evil spirit, God won't hear me. And there's a mocking that goes on for every little thing you do for Jesus. Has anybody ever felt that? I tell you, I fight literally. Every time I minister, I get mocked. You know? And so I have to deal with an evil spirit. I have to deal with that because I'm not putting up with it. I'm not going to leave him alone. He's going to leave me alone. That's the difference. He's going to leave me alone. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to say no. But I have to be vigilant, watchful, because the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking to devour. And what does he want most of all? He wants your faith. Because if he can get your faith, he can stop the supernatural power of God working in your life. Fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith that was once for all handed down. He'll mock a small beginning or a small group. I remember when we first planted the church. This is, you know, the mocking and the unbelief, the clouds. It just came against everything we were doing. Just the two of us came to plant church, and it was like, we've got nothing, we've got nobody. Well, praise God, Joan decided to join us, and then a few others joined us, and we had eight. The EDs joined us, and we had eight people. And it was like, this is never going to take off. And there's clouds, and there's struggle, and there's mocking. And Nehemiah had it. The enemies got together to come against this little thing you're doing. It's feeble. It's rubbish. You know, with your life, you're so valuable. God has put his spirit in you. You can do the same works as Jesus. The enemy will mock every little step. Maybe you haven't seen the full picture yet, but a little thing, he'll try and shut you down. Say, I'm going to refuse that mocking spirit. This old enemy, eh? Dealt with the same way we deal with every enemy, through faith in the name of Jesus. We take authority over him. He comes in a way where it's like you feel an invisible wall or an invisible ceiling. Limitations and can't get through. Anybody ever experienced that? Feeling a limit on your life, you'll never go further than this. Or a wall you can't break through. But I want to tell you, God is a God of the breakthrough, and he will break through our enemies like a river of water. Amen. He's the God of the breakthrough. And the enemy only came against David in that situation because God had anointed him. And you're anointed. Amen. God of the breakthrough. So the walls, I remember, personally, I just want to share just a little bit about being pushed back and this invisible wall and ceiling. How often it happens when I'm advancing, I'm doing something new in God, I'm stepping out on a word, a promise, or I'm operating in a gift of the Spirit, or just standing here saying, Lord, you're going to move, and I don't know what you're going to do, but do it. You know, that's as clear as my faith can be in that moment, this move. And I have experienced a physical pushback. And I remember the first time I was asked, when I was a rookie Christian, and I'd been trained in the Bible college, but Pastor Colin invited me to get up and pray in a conference. And literally, I think everything went to jelly in me. You know, I just wobbled. And I was like, right, well, if he's asking me to, and I always want to please God. If you're a good, if you're a follower of Jesus, you just want to do what he says. Heal the sick. I want to. I don't want it to be theory. I want to see the same things the early church saw. I remember going up to pray, and I'd lifted my hands. I'm bold, you know, there I'm going, like, I hope nobody's looking, but of course there were hundreds of people there. And I'm lifting my hands to pray, and I physically was pushed back, praying for this particular person, pushed back by a force, and it was a physical push back. I fell over. I didn't see in the spirit. I didn't see what was going on. And actually, this was the beginning of my ministry. I'd done all the learning, but now I was stepping out. How many of you know you can be trained for years, never do anything? But as soon as you step out, you become fairly interesting to the enemy. Amen. So I decided, you ain't winning. I think that was the start of my ministry. I refused to take it. That one thing, I got back up and went, right, in the name of Jesus, I release the victory of the name over your life. And that was it. I was gone. People were being healed. There was different dynamic of the release of the Spirit. But I had to overcome the pushback. And we can always recognize as well an evil spirit of unbelief coming against a whole congregational community. And I believe we're in days where individuals, as you as a believer, are moving forward in God. And that we are moving forward as a church in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, gathering again. God is on the move in the workplace. God is on the move amongst your neighbors and your friends and your family. It's so exciting, guys. It really is. But I know that there is a spirit coming against us as a church. This happened for me, for us, when we were traveling around Italy. And we were ministering for 3 weeks all over the north, south. We went thousands of miles ministering to different locations. Everywhere we went, there was a breakthrough. Souls saved. Signs and wonders following the preaching of the word. God's people encouraged. But we arrived in this one place called Terni. And when we arrived there, we did the same. We were the same people that we'd been all the way around Italy, but we went into a situation where there was a different spiritual atmosphere. How many of you ever experienced this personally? You know what I'm talking about. You can experience it very easily in religious settings. And religious spirits attach very happily to a spirit of unbelief, because they don't believe in the supernatural power of God today. That's why you need to get out of religion and into the life of the Spirit. And join a church where there is the powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the word being preached. Amen. Amen. So we were preaching and we were praying. And it was like this wall, this invisible wall, that it was like the words hit the wall and just fell. Yeah. You might have experienced this witnessing to someone in your soul winning. An invisible wall, it's like they just don't get it, it's not going in. And they literally sat there like cardboard cutouts. And they were cold. They just were like, let's just get through this. God's not here. God's not in this. And I was like, well, we did well around the rest of Italy. Let's stop here and say, never mind about this place. Because it makes you feel awful. It makes you, because that spirit communicates, you're no good. You haven't got the breakthrough. Has anybody heard that one? You can't bring the anointing into this situation. Anybody heard that? But you carry Christ in you. God in you, all things are possible. But the enemy was trying to make this atmosphere feel like, You're never going to break through here. God's never going to break through. That's what he likes to say. God in you is never going to break through. God can break through, you'll say that, all religious talk, but not through me. Has anybody heard that one? It's from the pit of hell. God will break through. So we had the people had planned a lovely day out in Italy, which is very nice in Italy because the food's nice, the buildings are nice, the people are nice, and we chose to go to the hotel room, which wasn't nice, and pray, because we said we're not going to leave this alone. There's something wrong here. And it took a lot of prayer work. I think it took 6 hours of seeking the Lord. We went to our prayer room and we sought the Lord. We said, Lord, we don't know what's wrong, but we know there's something wrong. Because everywhere else we've been, it's great. But when I come here, it's not. And you might be in a situation personally where it's like that. Well, your battle isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and principalities of darkness. So we went to prayer, we sought the Lord. God gave us a vision, an incredible, I think we both saw it at the same time, of I literally saw a demon. And we saw, you saw it as well, in the same place, in the nave of this cathedral we were preaching in. And it filled the nave, you know, these big tall arches, fully filled this place. And as he gave us the vision, he gave us a word from, listen to this one, Obadiah. How many of you regularly have a word from Obadiah? So he gave us a scripture came to mind. And this is after seeking him. We got light. We got the word. And we got faith. We stood up and went to what we'd seen, this spirit, this demon, holding captive a whole congregation. Think of it. Our battle. We stood up and we said, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave. And you know when the enemy goes, he goes quick. It's called fleeing. Resist the enemy and he shall flee. Go quick. Don't believe for a go slow. According to your faith, it will be done. I remember people in ministry used to hand out buckets and say, we've got a long night coming, let's get a blanket and a hot water bottle. That is not faith. We use faith. In the name of Jesus, we resist the devil and he has to go quick. Just say over your life, the devil will have to go quick. Listen, I know it's a longer morning this morning. Just hold with me, because I believe it's actually a very significant word for us as a church. And I think it's more significant than I ever thought it would be. We are going to advance like a troop and leap over a wall. We're going to see a breakthrough. Amen. A breakthrough of souls. A breakthrough of the power of the Spirit. The Spirit in me is going. There's an energy. I didn't feel well first thing this morning, but I feel great. Thank you, Jesus. Leave us alone. This spirit. Now, let me tell you, we went back into the same situation after dealing with the enemy first. And some of you will deal with the enemy here today and at home, and you'll go back into the situation and you'll say, oh, that's completely light, air, freedom, openness to the Lord. We went back in. Preached the gospel, and many responded to salvation. And you know what? I said, no, no, don't come forward. We're going to all meet in the nave. And so PA and I all said, come on, all of you. There were more than 25, I think, got saved, or more than that. And we filled the nave with those coming to Christ. And we were like, yes. We're so glad we didn't leave you alone. Now, I don't know what you have experienced this morning, what God has spoken to you about this evil spirit. But I believe we need to respond. How? Well, first of all, if you have been in a heart unbelief, just repent. Say sorry. To believe that God wouldn't use you, just say, Lord, that's not true. Because with God in me, all things are possible. Are you there? Just say sorry, Lord. Then yield to the God of the breakthrough. Yield to Him. Surrender your life. And then we're just going to pray through and stand against this enemy. And he's going to flee from you. And he's going to flee from this church. We're going to do this individually first. And then we're going to pray as a people, online and here, that the church is going to advance. And we're going to see some space created and a territory made today. So that the ground troops can go in and take possession of the land. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, first of all, we just want to lift up the name of Jesus here. I just want to thank you for the name that is above every name. You just lift up the name that is above every power and principality. No matter what is going on in our world, Jesus has already defeated it. He's already defeated all the powers behind every government, every force of wickedness that's going on earth. Jesus has already defeated every name, every principality and power. And we are going to honor the name that is above every name. Today, Lord, we want to thank you for the name. You've given us the name. You've given us authority in the name of Jesus over all the power of the enemy. No matter what evil spirit is in operation, we've already got authority over those things. And we just want to give you thanks, Lord, for the insight into how faith operates. And we just want to say, Lord, just personally, in any area of our life where we haven't been believing you, you know what you're talking about when you pray this prayer. Just say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Maybe I've settled for God would never use me for this. I haven't contended. I've just sat back down like the enemy wanted me to. I haven't gone in to take possession of what I'm hearing on Sundays and saying, I'm going to claim that for me and act on it. Forgive us, Father. Forgive me. All unbelief and doubt. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. I just want to thank you for those who are confessing right now in genuine heart faith that they're speaking to you, that you forgive. Thank you, Lord. And right now we silence the enemy from saying, it's never going to happen for us. Say, be quiet. I say, be quiet right now in this place and online. Be quiet. Things are going to change from this moment. Thank you, Lord. Just yield, surrender, submit to God. Surrender to the God of the breakthrough, the one to whom and with whom nothing is impossible. Thank you, Jesus. With you, Lord, in us, nothing is impossible. Just say it. I surrender to you in me. Nothing is impossible with you, Lord. Nothing is impossible. Spirits of unbelief operating in my family, in my own life, in us as a church, Lord, coming against us, this evil spirit. Nothing is impossible, Lord. We just praise you for hearts of faith. Just declare it over your life. With God in me, nothing is impossible. And I'm going to decide to step out and see what Jesus said would come to pass through my life. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'm not going to struggle with this anymore because I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to leave you alone, enemy. You old enemy of mine, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to come against you because you're coming against us. In the name of Jesus Christ, look, let's just rise up and use that name and say, in the name of Jesus, I resist that spirit of unbelief over my life personally. Leave. Just tell him, speak it out. This isn't a prayer. It's speaking to the enemy. Leave now through faith in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we want to thank you for authority over the church. That, Lord, we've got authority in the name of Jesus to see all the power of the enemy broken in this spirit of unbelief, resisting the advance, resisting the gifts of the Spirit, resisting signs and wonders and growth, resisting all the practical sides of life, work, businesses, our minds and hearts, and Jesus' healing. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you for the victory through faith in the name of Jesus. And He must flee. He must flee. Lord, we see him. Go quick now. Leave quickly now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for invisible walls broken down. Our God is breaking through like a breakthrough of water. We just see you breaking through our enemy. Father, thank you for the breakthrough this morning. Thank you, you're the God of the breakthrough. And the God who gives victory and always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for your name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, may this insight, anytime we struggle, anytime we feel this mocking spirit, anytime we step out and we feel this pushback, may we be a people who recognize it and immediately surrender everything to you and then get rid of the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for territory taken this morning in the Spirit that will result in a walking out in a freedom and fruitfulness for every disciple and follower of Jesus here today. In Jesus' name, so be it. Let's clap the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Our God is lifted up. Our God is lifted up. Hallelujah. He has conquered all for us. Praise God. God has done it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. What a great morning together. And online, I'm believing it, and I believe that this word and this action today will produce much fruit. And as soon as you experience that, act, resist, and he will go quickly. Praise him. Praise him. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.